Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article that I started last time from AARP, the Bulletin. And this is the cover story, Living Solo, How Older Americans Are Embracing Independence and Redefining What It Means to Age Alone. So we read the first one last time, and that was entitled Freedom and Autonomy Are Tops. Now we're to number two. There's time for pals. When H. Shelley Versey, an associate professor of psychology at Fordham University, tracked 890 African-American female solo agers as part of a larger 2025 study, she and her co-author found that these solo women were less likely to feel lonely than women in the general population with partners, and both groups gave their health similar ratings. People still have the idea that getting older means being lonely, and that solo living would be associated with worse health, perhaps especially for black women, Versey says. But if you're still working, or you're going to a bridge group, or the local library, or community garden, if you're seeing people you know at the coffee shop and the grocery store, that's very different from being isolated with nobody checking in on you. Making time for social connections was a priority for many of AARP's survey respondents. 63% said spending time with friends brings them joy, and 51% said their social life is excellent or good. Women prioritized these social connections more than men did. Of the top things for living a long life, number one is camaraderie with other people your age, says Vicky Ivy, 83, a solo ager from Cheyenne, Wyoming, whose husband died in 2014. Good friendships, laughing, and doing activities together are so important. Next we have friendship? Yes. Romance? Maybe, maybe not. 2 in 5 solo agers in AARP's survey said loneliness and isolation were the worst parts of aging alone. Few were looking for romance, with women even less interested than men. I don't want to date, Mildred Kirschenbaum says. A man needs someone in his life. A woman is more self-sufficient. She spends her life taking care of others, even if she works. Another recent national survey found just 27% of single older women and 43% of single older men are interested in dating. And dating apps? Forget it. Just 5% of adults in their 50s and 2% age 60 and older had used one in the past year, according to a 2023 Pew Research Center survey. I tried 4 different dating apps, says Ruben Lopez Jr., 70, a solo ager living in Meridian, Idaho. I always set my age group to at least 55 or older and to local searches only, but I was always getting likes from women in their 20s and 30s in other states. Almost everyone looked like a fake account. In contrast, 57% of solo agers turned to friends for support and guidance. You never know when you help people just by being there and listening, said Bernard Daly, 77, a retired chemical engineer from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and a widower since 2021. He attends a local widows and widowers group on Tuesdays, is a member of a men's bereavement group, and recently joined the Audubon Society, just to try to get out more. Daly has coffee with friends on Friday afternoons and breakfast with another friend Tuesday mornings. Just laughing together, getting out of yourself a little, and being social sometimes is all you need, he says. 1 in 4 AARP survey respondents found joy in volunteer work, and 1 in 5 are involved in their communities. Solo ager James Ravenel, 72, of Orlando, Florida, has been calling older adults, many of whom are solo agers, 3 mornings a week since 2024 for the Red Cross of Central Florida's Dial a Friend program. I check on necessary things like their medication. If it's cold out, I ask if their heat is functioning, says Revenel, a Navy veteran and retired maintenance worker. If there's a problem or I can't reach them, I note it down and call someone, like a son or daughter, to go out and check on them. It's a pleasure. They inspire me. Since 2015, Evelyn Michaud, 68, a solo ager living in Westchester County, New York, has been checking in on older solo agers through DORT, D-O-R-O-T, USA, a social service organization based in New York City that aims to ease social isolation for older adults. I don't consider it work, she says. The pleasure you have connecting and becoming friends is rich and valuable. We have conversations about everything. Now, before we go on to number 4, there are a couple of sidebar articles here, so I would like to read you those at this point. Solo Ager Spotlight. We all need a network. This is Charlene Davis, 59, of Los Angeles. In 2012, Charlene Davis decided that solo aging works best when people aren't aging alone. With a friend, she co-founded the California-based Sistas, Aging with Grace and Elegance, SAGE, S-A-G-E, focused on Black women as they age. I was the caregiver for my mother and father in my 20s and 30s, says Davis, a consultant for nonprofit organizations and vice president of strategy and evaluation at the California Black Women's Health Project. After they passed away and became ancestors, I started thinking about my own aging journey. I'm an only child. I don't have children, a husband, sisters, or brothers. If I needed the type of care I provided to my parents, I don't have the traditional safety net. If something happened, there's not a mini-me. But, she thought, she could bring a network with her friends and co-founder, Kiara Pruitt. I realized I needed to be intentional about what my aging support system could look like, said Davis. That led to conversations with my friends, then to community conversations and to SAGE. The mission, joining together for healthy, active, socially connected, and financially secure later lives. SAGE's 2,000 members share aging experiences, engage virtually and in person, and meet up at events, including summer reunions with educational sessions covering everything from aging in place to caregiving to dating. Davis savors her single life. She has traveled extensively in Europe, Australia, South America, and Africa, where she has done volunteer work, and she has launched other community projects through the California Black Women's Health Project, including the Sankofa Elders Project, aimed at empowering older Black adults to advocate for community solutions to health disparities. Solo aging gives you the autonomy to center your own needs, she says, and she is keenly aware of the importance of creating a safety net of friends who are like family to her. You won't have spousal benefits to enhance your savings or an adult child to contribute to your care, she notes. Our health care system has standards and policies, but it won't advocate for you like a loved one would. We all need a network. And the next spotlight is Vicky Ivey, 83, of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A new social life began for Vicky Ivey when she walked into Cheyenne Public Library in June 2014 for a meeting of the Cheyenne Widows and Widowers Group. Her high school sweetheart and husband of 54 years, Dale, had died earlier that year. A friend she had met at a hospice support meeting suggested this group, and soon the pair were at the center of a bunch of adventurous women. People liked being around us because we liked to laugh, said Ivy, a former beautician and gift shop owner. I had a Ford Explorer you could fit 7 people in. I took them to Estes Park for the weekend. We went to Fort Collins to eat out and to Snowy Range to see the beautiful trees. She has noticed a special resilience in solo agers, including herself. They grieve for lost spouses and marriages that span decades. When I was alone, I would miss Dale more than anything, she says. It took me 3 years to get over missing him so much. At the same time, a lifetime of experience has given them the grit to keep going. Our generation, we've seen everything, Ivy says. Us people born during and right after World War II, we've seen bad times, we've seen sad times, and we've seen good times. We have the full spectrum of what life is about. That's what makes us as strong as we are. That grit has helped Ivy through recent uterine cancer treatments, months of recovery, lasting weakness in her hips, and a knee problem that makes walking difficult. Ivy's three children live an hour or two away in Colorado. It's a close-knit family, but for now she's staying in Cheyenne. My kids would love if I moved closer to them, she says, but they don't want to push me to move. They know I'm having a lot of fun with my friends here. So next time we'll go on to number four, which is people on their own need social networks. Now moving over to AARP, the magazine, Lisa's Big Bargain Shopping Adventure. This is by Lisa Lee Freeman. Inflation fears sent me on a journey earlier this year. I took bargain hunting to the extreme, traveling hundreds of miles in search of new and surprising places where I could stretch my dollar to the max. What I found amazed me. I explored corners of the bargain verse that I had never experienced and that most people I know have never heard of. As a seasoned consumer journalist, I thought I had seen and shopped it all. I hadn't. My quest spanned six types of retailers, which I chose using three criteria. One, they needed to have physical locations in multiple states, and not just in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, where I shopped with my husband, Bill. So no one-offs or online-only operators. Two, they had to offer deals you won't find at your local discount chain or on Temu or TikTok. Three, they had to offer a variety of products and cater to a range of budgets. At a time when many of us are looking for ways to save, I hope my travelogue inspires you to expand your own bargain hunting horizons. Bin stores. My shopping adventure began in a dimly lit warehouse off a small residential street in Bethel, Connecticut. It's easy to miss. The only evidence of a giant store inside is a tiny sign on the door that says, Cathalo Warehouse Treasures. Inside, stacks of home furnishings, electronics, small appliances, bedding, and other merchandise fill shelves and clutter floors, and mountains of clothing, shoes, and linens rise from long tables. Like other stores in this category, Cathalo buys liquidated stock by the pallet rack. The industry is fueled in part by online returns, which are sold as open box merchandise. The owner, Netta Mackel, told me she also gets overstock and past season products from Target, Kohl's, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, and other retailers. Some items were damaged, dusty, or looking used, but I found a lot of great deals. A wood cabinet, for example, cost $79, 47% less than it did on Amazon. A gold wall sconce listed on Fairway for $175 was only $39, a 78% discount. I also saw lots of clothing at flea market prices, like children's items, for $3 apiece. Unlike big closeout chains like Ollie's, the vibe at smaller operators like Cathalo is chaotic, with varying levels of grunge. Many of these resellers are known as bin stores because they dump merchandise, clothes, electronics, bedding, beauty products, and more into giant, shallow bins. Every item in the bin has the same price, which may drop over time. At Mystery Ben's in West Nyack, New York, for example, you'll pay $15 per item on Saturdays when new shipments arrive. Prices drop daily until the following Friday when the leftovers go for $1. The store also sells individually priced large and small appliances. I also took a road trip to Retail 101, a stadium-sized warehouse in Shelton, Connecticut, that specializes in fashion and furniture. On a Thursday afternoon, the parking lot was packed, and customers were using enormous wheeled bins as shopping carts. I bought a $13 fanny pack that was $56 on the brand's website. I also fell in love with a 10-foot-long teak dining room table in perfect condition, which I saw online for $2,900, but at this store cost only $600. How to find them? Search online for closeout and bin stores or local liquidators. Try sites like The Bin Finder. That's thebinfinder.com and binstorefinder.com. Special tips. Check items carefully and ask permission to open boxes. Smaller operators are no returns zones. Don't expect warranties or, for larger items, delivery and installation services. And read reviews on Google and Yelp for insider insight. Each store has its quirks. Next, let's look at thrift outlets. There are thrift shops and then there are thrift outlets. Before this journey, I was well acquainted with Goodwill and similar shops, but I was totally unprepared for the outlet version. In Hamden, Connecticut, it was a quiet Monday afternoon in February, but inside the town's Goodwill thrift outlet, it was pandemonium. Hordes of shoppers were ransacking boat-sized bins of clothing, books, shoes, home goods, and electronics, and tossing their finds into overloaded shopping carts. This is where Goodwill dumps its overflow. Bins of donations are rolled out continually. Almost everything is priced by the pound. Glassware and dishes are 69 cents a pound, and other stuff is $1.79 a pound. The charity says that a shirt costing $7 at a Goodwill thrift store may cost as little as 50 cents at a Goodwill outlet. My favorite part was the furniture. Although most of it needed some work, a deep clean, small repair or paint job, tables, cabinets, and couches were priced at just $5 or $10. Overall, it's a down-and-dirty free-for-all. In fact, Goodwill's own website warns that shoppers are known to be competitive and aggressive. For a more relaxed charity outlet experience, try Habitat for Humanity's ReStores. The one I visited in New Bern, New York, was neat and well organized. ReStores are selective. You'll find a lot of nice furniture, wall art, lamps, decor, and more. A store manager told me that you can decorate a whole house for under $500. Although donations are mostly from individuals, she said, home goods stores also contribute to the mix. How to find them? Both chains have more than 100 locations. Visit habitat.org/restores and goodwilloutlets.com to find one near you. Special tips? Check your local ReStores Facebook page, which may show what's in stock. Goodwill recommends wearing gloves when you shop, in part to protect yourself from injury. They aren't kidding. And I'll do one more of these, and then we'll finish this article up next time. Clearance outlets. I'm a huge fan of outlet malls, but over the years, I've seen fewer markdowns on regular merchandise and more items made specifically for the outlets. But old-fashioned outlets are still out there. I saw this contrast when I visited a strip mall in Marlton, New Jersey. At a Raymond and Flanagan outlet, a person told me prices are lower than at the brand's regular retail stores because the furniture is made with lower quality materials. perhaps a good choice if you're on a tight budget. Meanwhile, across the parking lot, a Best Buy outlet was offering deep discounts on regular retail stock sold as open box merchandise, such as items that were returned or dinged during transport. Outlets also sell overstock and floor samples. On prices on items I price checked at that Best Buy and at a Lowe's outlet in Meridian, Connecticut, savings ranged from 15% for a dryer to 62% for a vanity, compared with the lowest prices I found online. Many things were half off or more, including TVs, fridges, a lawnmower, and a barbecue. How to find them? Search online for the names of retailers and the words open box outlet or clearance center. You can also try thatoutletgirl.com, where I got the inside scoop on Nordstrom's Last Chance outlets. There are just two standalone versions of those stores in the United States, and neither one is near me. Boo-hoo. Special tips? Even if a store says its open box items have been tested, check for damage and missing parts. Also, ask about delivery and installation services, return policies, and warranties, which may differ from those at the regular retail stores. And we will return to that article next time. Now let's look at real people, inspiring stories of friends and neighbors in their own words. And I have to tell you about a picture here. There are four women floating on their back in a pool. They have red swim caps on, black swimsuits, and one of them has goggles. And another one, the others have goggles up on their heads. They're saving lives through water ballet, making a splash. The Harlem Honeys and Bears spread the gospel of safety while swimming in sync. For most of her life, Jean Ned, 82, didn't know how to swim. Then, at 64, she signed up for lessons. Now, Ned, who's shown in this picture, is a dedicated member of her teacher's synchronized swimming troupe, the Harlem Honeys and Bears. The New York City team, ranging in age from 55 to 91, has fun while on a serious mission, improving water safety in their community. Because of racial segregation of public pools before the 60s, many older black Americans missed a childhood chance to learn to swim and therefore cannot teach their kids. The group runs swimming lessons in Harlem for people 50 and older. "We're here to change the story," said Leroy Weathers, 74, a retired teacher who joined the squad 15 years ago. Most of the folks on the team didn't learn to swim until they were 50, 60, or older. If we can do this, anyone can. And this article was by David Hockman. Next, we have real sports, Super Southpaw. At 70, he pitches to Giants. Before the San Francisco team faces a lefty pitcher, John Yandel suits up. Batting practice is about accuracy, not strategy. If you can throw strikes that the player can hit hard, then you're doing your job. They are not a lot of 70-year-olds out there throwing batting practice. I've been doing it for the Giants for 41 years. It started by chance. I had spent 4.5 years in minor league baseball before getting a, quote, real job in commercial real estate. But I still had friends in baseball. One was Ricky Lee Adams, who was playing for the Giants. While I was visiting him at Candlestick Park in 1985, some of the coaches said they had sore arms and asked if I would throw batting practice. I had a blast and just kept showing up. They paid me $20 a day. Now, whenever they're going to face a left-handed pitcher, I'm there. I'll leave my office and drive up to the stadium or perhaps fly to wherever they're playing. It's often very last minute. After the batters are warming up, they'll ask me to hurl specific pitches at them in the batting cage. That's my favorite part. Giant slugger Barry Bonds would ask for curveballs, sliders, or changeups. He worked harder than anyone else. It's an experience I will never forget. To stay ready, I work out in the off-season, doing body work, plyometrics, yoga, just keeping active. The funny thing is that if I go out and weed in the backyard, I can barely stand up the next day, but I can throw for 4 days in a row and be fine. I throw an 80-mile-per-hour fastball, and now I stand 10 feet in front of the mound. If I get to the point where the players are close enough to hit me with their bats, that's when I'll know it's time to retire. But even then, I'll still show up for the Giants. They've become like family to me. Maybe I'll sell cotton candy. I don't take any of this for granted. Every year I feel that I have to prove myself, to show the team that age doesn't make that much difference. Whenever they need me, I'm there. It would be so easy to say, I don't want to do it today. But I've learned that if you are persistent and positive, you can surprise yourself. And this was as told to Andrea Atkins. Real estate executive John Yandel, 70, lives in Menlo Park, California. He's a father of three and the owner of 3 World Series rings. Well, we have time for a few items on how to save. This from AARP, the Bulletin. Get it free. Join loyalty clubs. Many retail and restaurant loyalty programs reward members with freebies, like a gift for their birthday, or after they make specific purchases or spend a certain amount of money. For example, members of My Bikes, Jersey Mike's loyalty program, earn Shore points for their purchases, which they can later redeem for free sandwiches. Maximize your credit card perks. In addition to rewards points, many credit cards offer valuable perks to cardholders. The Chase Sapphire Reserve card offers a credit that gets you free global entry or TSA pre-check at airports, while Bank of America cardholders get free access at certain times to more than 200 museums around the country. Get help with your meds. People with low income or without prescription drug coverage may qualify for patient assistance programs, which provide free or discounted medications. Learn more about these programs at RxAssist or NeedyMeds.org. Don't qualify for those programs? Ask your doctor for any free samples when they write you a new prescription. Well, folks, we have run out of time for this day's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.